Standing, or you can sit, or you can lie down if you want to. But you will have to stop talking. All right, now, somebody tell me, name somebody who you met, somebody new, would you? I want you to raise your hand. All right, who'd you meet? Tell me who they are. Debbie, who'd you meet? Steve from Mount Vernon, right over here. All right. And who else? Yeah, Roger. You met Mrs. Sapp? Oh, my mother. You didn't know my mother before that, huh? All right. Anybody else? Anybody meet a first-time visitor here? Tana? Amy. All right. So you met. Now, she was here when you weren't here, but she's new to you, isn't she? All right. I'm so glad. We have Jason back here, too. Jason is this man knows his Bible. You can go ahead and be seated. Jason knows his Bible, and he came Wednesday night. We enjoyed getting to meet him. Glad that he is back today. All right. You got your Bibles out?
Amen.
Got your Bibles out? John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. I do not... I'll bet probably not, I'm not sure I've ever in the history of our church preached a series of messages on Sunday mornings, but I have actually today, I'm preaching a follow-up message to what I began last week. I'm doing a little something different. I in my personal study, as I'm trying to learn about exactly what was important to Jesus, you know, it seemed like a pretty good thing. I'm not sure why I never did it before. Trying to figure out what's important to Jesus. And I came across some phrases that he used. I was looking at the things he told us to do. Now, Jesus said a lot of times, he said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And if you'll do this, this is what will happen. But really only a very few occasions did Jesus actually say, do this. Where he was a command form, not more of a polite command, not a demand, but a command. But he said, more than anything else, he never one time commanded anybody to love him, never one time commanded anybody to trust him. He did, however, 19 times recorded in Scripture, did he say, follow me, follow me. And so I began to think, if it's recorded 19 times, now some of those are repetitive, but if it's recorded that many times that Jesus said, follow me, we probably ought to figure out exactly what he meant by that. And so we should get to that. So in our text now this morning, notice please, in verse number 3, and follow along while I read here. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now this is talking about the great shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Skip down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I spoke last week about listening for the sound of the shepherd's voice. Our world is filled with noise. Our world is filled with voices that want your attention, that want to tell you what to do and how to think and how to act and how to interpret the events of the world. And even this world wants to tell us who God is and who Jesus is. And it's important, it's critical that we learn to distinguish his voice. See, and again, I won't re-preach the message, but in the Bible days, these sheep were in all, there were lots of sheep, lots of different flocks in one sheepfold. Those sheep had to know the voice of their shepherd, and that's what they followed. And it's important that we learn that as well. Today, I'm going to follow that up with this message. Follow him, he knows you by name. He knows you by name. I'm going to pray, and then right after I pray, Sharon and Bethany, mother and daughter, are going to sing a beautiful song called Blessings. We'll enjoy that, and that'll prepare our hearts for God to speak to us. Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of eternity. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of the family of God. Lord, I pray that today in the message that you would speak to every heart, Lord, those that are already your sheep, but especially those that are not. And God, I pray that you'd help us now to understand what you wanted us to do when you said to follow you. Bless the message now in the music and then the message to follow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Beautiful message. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That ministered to my heart. I think it did yours as well. And let me get into this message, please. Follow him. He knows you by name. The great playwright Shakespeare one time is by far, in my opinion, the most brilliant, one of the most brilliant masters of the use of language that there's ever been. Now, a lot of people don't like to read Shakespeare because, frankly, you got to work at it. It's a little bit of work because of the depth of his writing. And oftentimes he would write in very complex ways that did require a lot of work. But there's one particular play that is probably his most famous, Romeo and Juliet. Juliet had one line in it that has become a very common phrase, or a very common sentence used in our question, really, used in our world. And it's she simply said, "What's in a name? What's in a name?" Now, you'll hear that. Maybe you didn't know that came from Shakespeare. But her point was, she was trying to make the point that your last name shouldn't matter, that it really shouldn't matter what a person's name is and so on. But I would say to you this morning that it does matter. Your name is important. Your name matters. A name does matter. Let me explain why. You see, your name means something to Jesus. Would you notice verse number 3? The Bible says this, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Would you notice this, please? "And he calleth his own sheep by name." By name. He calls his sheep by name. You know, you visitors, if you're visiting with us today, and again, as I said, I apologize if you don't like being pointed out in a service. I really do. I certainly would never want anybody to be uncomfortable. I don't want anybody, you know, I do call people out from time to time while I'm preaching. But I want you to, visitors especially, know, I want to know your name. I want to know who you are. I want to be a part of your life. You know, and you say, "Well, you just met me. You don't know anything." It doesn't matter. I don't have to know anything about you. I know the God who loves you, and I want to know something about you. I want to know who you are. I want to know what your hurts are. I want to know, not because I'm nosy. Look, I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, I have to, this has nothing to do with the message, but I don't get some of you that troll Facebook. I don't get that. You know, looking for somebody, I got to know what's going on with this person. I got to know what's going on with that person. I got to know this, and I got to know. Look, I got all that I need to know that comes to me anyway. I don't need to go looking for to learn more about other people in terms of that, in terms of gossip. But I do want to know who you are, and I want to know what's going on in your life. And my church members, please understand, I do want to know what's going on in your life. It hurts me if I'm with somebody and my phone rings and I can't take the call and I worry. As soon as I see one of your names come up on my phone and I worry, are they going to think that I'm just not answering because I don't want to? Please know that's never the case. If I can answer, I will answer. But I'm often with people. I'm with people all day long. I'm trying to talk to people and help people, and I want to know what's going on in your life. But far more important than whether or not I know your name, visitors, far more important whether I remember your name, even my church members, is that Jesus knows your name. You see, God wants your name somewhere. God wants your name written somewhere. Would you look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15? Can I tell you that your name has everything to do with your eternal home? The Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Please understand this. It's very, very important. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not be in heaven. I want your name there. The New Hope Baptist Church wants your name there. But far more than we want your name there, Jesus wants your name there. Your name is important. So I care about your name. And so this morning, as I prepared for this message, I chose this title, "Follow Him. He knows you by name." I want you to know how important it is that He knows you and that He knows you by name. And so this morning, as a part of this series, I ask you the question, I sort of pose a question to all of us. Why should we follow Jesus? Why should we be a follower? When Jesus said, "Follow me," may I say to you this morning, I'm going to give you three reasons why we should follow Jesus. Number one, why should you follow Jesus? Because He knows you. He knows you. John chapter 10 and verse number 27, would you notice again? The Bible says this, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." And I know them. There is nothing better in this world, in my mind, than to think about the fact that the Creator of the universe knows me. He knows me. John, the same chapter, look at verse number 14. He said it again. He said, "I am the good shepherd and know My sheep." He knows you. Now, how well does He know you? Would you take a look at Luke chapter 12 and verses number 6 and 7? I want to show you. You say, "Well, I don't know. Maybe that doesn't really mean that He knows us, that He knows me." Can I show you how well Jesus knows you? Can I show you how well the Creator we'll get to this here in just a minute, by the way. But may I remind you that we're talking about the Creator of the universe. Do you know that our planet, I'm not talking about just Earth, this planet, this is called Jesus' footstool. This is God's footstool, this planet Earth we've been talking about. But our planet is a pretty insignificant little speck in our solar system. It can take a long time to get, look, there's this new movie out, The Martian. You know, it would take years traveling at a very, very high rate of speed just to get to the nearest planet to us. This universe is a big place, folks. And we wouldn't even be able to in our lifetimes travel to the sun, even if you could get close to it. Please understand, this universe is a huge place. We're on a solar system of billions in our galaxy. Our star is just one of billions, and our galaxy it would take 100,000 years traveling at light speed to get across our galaxy. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this universe is a big place, and God made it all, and He knows you. He knows you. He knows you. There are trillions of stars. There have been billions of people. God knows every one of them. We're not insignificant, folks. Listen, you are not just an insignificant life in the vast universe of space, because the Creator of it all knows you. Verse number 6, Luke chapter 12. How well does He know you? Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Watch verse 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Not only do you want to know how well God knows you, He knows every hair on your head. They're numbered. Now, it's pretty, yeah, I know some of you are saying, well, I feel more like God saying the hairs of my head are numbered, like, you know, when we say your days are numbered. You know, you know how many hair follicles are on your head? Well, you blondes have about 140,000 hair follicles. Blondes have more hair follicles than any others. Obviously, you just go ahead and let the jokes just roll there. You know, brunettes have about 108,000 hair follicles on their heads, and redheads have the fewest with 90,000. But can you imagine that? 90,000, and He said they're all numbered. God knows you. God knows you. He knows you. Now, that doesn't account for dying. I get that. I'm talking about all the natural. Listen, it doesn't matter how many hairs on your head. The point is that He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows you. Psalm 139, notice Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, this is David writing. He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Look at verse 2. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Do you realize that God, the Creator of the universe, knows when you go to bed, and He knows when you get up? And He asked me to tell some of you young people, you ought to be getting up before you do. God's not okay with you sleeping till noon. Just FYI. Just a message. Hey, don't. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. I'm just relaying the message. Don't kill the messenger. Look, God knows when you go to bed. God knows when you get up. He said, Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows you. How amazingly well He knows you. But now take a time out for a minute. Because some of you are like me. Some of you are like me. And you say, yeah, preacher, that's the problem. He knows me. He knows me. He knows what I do. He knows what I do when no one's looking. He knows the thoughts I think. He knows the things that I say. He knows the words that come out of my mouth. He knows how I treat people. He knows how I treat Him. He knows every word I've said. We'll come to that verse here in just a minute. You say, that's the problem. Why would He want me to follow Him? Now, Jesus said, follow me, but some of us ask the question, why in the world would He want me to follow Him? He knows me. He knows me. He knows my addictions. He knows my meanness. He knows every time I took His name in vain. He knows me. You know, Verse 3. Notice, He said, Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought. My thought. Can I ask you something? What were your thoughts today? What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts this week? See, we look at God and we realize He knows me. So I'm not sure why He would want me to follow Him. I'm going to go to the book of Psalms. You don't have verse 3 back there. Let me go to, I want you to hear the next couple of verses. This is where many of us live. Psalm 139, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Psalm 139 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. All my ways. God knows all my ways. You see, wait a minute. I thought this was supposed to be an encouraging message. This is going downhill fast, isn't it? It's going downhill fast. God knows all my ways. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word. The Bible says someday we will have to give account for every idle word. Why would Jesus want us to follow him? Is that the question some of you are asking? Why would Jesus want me to follow him? You asking that question? Uh-huh. Passion of the Christ. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I was in tears.
Yeah. Good. That's good. We don't understand all that Jesus went through. Why would he want us to follow him? Because he knows us. Thou knowest it all together, the Bible says. There you see it in verse number 4. See, God knows us. See, if you're like me, that's the problem. Now, you know, why in the world would Jesus want us to follow him? David said the same thing. Notice David, the psalmist, wrote in Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 6. Notice what he said. Do you have these or no? Just tell me if you don't. David said, I am a worm and no man. Listen, the psalmist David, we're talking about the man after God's own heart. David said, Lord, when you look at me, he said, why would you want to listen to me? Why would you want to hear from me? I'm a worm and no man. The great man Job, in the book of Job, the Bible says that Job was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. And Job said the same thing. He said, why would God want to deal with a worm like me? Anybody else besides me feel like a worm this morning? See, God says, you know, we look at ourselves and we say, well, I know me and people know me. Do you realize that the people around us, they know some of our failures, but God knows all of them?
Yes.
Listen, you can clearly see some of my faults. They're on display. We can't help it. Our faults are many times on display for the whole world to see, for one another to see. We know some of each other's faults, but God knows all of them. He knows you. See, but why would he want me to follow him then? David said in Psalm 51 in verse number 3, he said, my sin is ever before me. Do you ever feel like you can never get away from your sin? Anybody else? My sin is ever before me. Now, we all understand what the Bible says about forgiveness. We all understand God said, I forgive you and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But we don't feel that way, do we? Why would Jesus want us to follow him? In Romans chapter 7 and verse number 24, the apostle Paul said, you do have those, thank you. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you see that you're not alone? Listen, here's my point. Child of God, you're not alone in how you feel. If you're here this morning and you say, God knows me, why would he? I don't understand why he'd want me to follow him. I don't know why Jesus would want me tagging along behind him. I don't know why Jesus would even want to get anywhere near me if he knows me that well. Anybody else feel that way? But he said, follow me. You see, because John 10 and verse number, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. See, none of those things matter because Romans 5 verse 8 says this, but God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus said, I know about those things. But it doesn't matter. All right, Shakespeare had those four words. What's in a name? Can I give you four words? God loves you anyway. Now, you fill in the blank of whatever you got. Well, you don't know, but I'm addicted. I've got these addictions that I can't get victory over. Can I say to you, God loves you anyway? You say, but I feel guilt about some things that I've done in the past, and I've done some terrible things to people. And my message for you is, God loves you anyway. He already knew you did those things. Do you realize God knew what you were going to do before you did it? Do you realize that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross knowing full well the things that we were going to say and the things that we were going to do? And he said, you know what? I love you anyway this much. You see, we look at ourselves and we say, God knows me. Why would he want me to follow him? And he said, I want you to follow me because you need a shepherd. Do you realize that if he didn't know us and if we didn't have all those flaws, we wouldn't have needed a shepherd? Do you know if you could lead yourself, you don't need a shepherd? He said, the reason that I came is because you need me, because you need a shepherd. That's why I did it. He said, if I didn't know you and if I didn't know what your flaws were, I wouldn't have had to come. But he said, but I do know you and it's okay. God loves you anyway. God loves the ashamed anyway. You say, well, the accuser comes and says, but you killed your unborn baby. You know what my answer for you is from God? God loves you anyway. God loves you anyway. Does he want that? No, but he loves you anyway. Teenager got pregnant out of wedlock. He loves you anyway. All right, 40-year-old white man looking at pornography. He loves you anyway. Can't put down the bottle of beer. He loves you anyway. I'm gonna keep digging. Proud and arrogant, he loves you anyway. So you say, well, I'm glad I don't have any of those things. Oh, you got those things, you just don't know it. Well, I'm glad I don't have any addictions. Your addiction's pride. You're addicted to you. I just don't feel like I'm there yet. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm looking around and I feel like I'm missing something. You say, you know, and but I've got to move on. But listen, God loves you anyway. You know, there's a woman that came. Jesus was passing through, and he was taking his disciples, and his disciples wanted to take a long path around Samaria because the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And Jesus said, no, we're going right through Samaria. And by the way, in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, he specifically mentioned Samaria because he said, you Jews, you don't like the Samaritans. That's where I'm going to specifically tell you I want you to go there. Do you know what that is today? That's all the people that we don't like too. And Jesus said, I'm going to specifically tell you to go there. Hey, if there's a group that you don't like, hey, listen to me, Christian. It's not time to pray. If there's a Christian that you give, so heads up. If there's a group that you don't like, if you can sit here and say, well, I just don't like that group. I don't like those liberals, and I don't like this group here, and I don't like the homosexuals, and I don't like this group, and I don't like that group. Can I tell you something? I bet you God is telling you that's your ministry. So, well, he'll change me. Oh, I dare you to dare him. I dare you to dare God. I'm serious. You're looking at somebody that used to be such an arrogant jerk and didn't like certain groups of people, and if you didn't have it all together on the outside, you weren't okay with God. If God can change me, he can change you. I dare you to dare him. I dare you to come to the altar today and say, God, I don't like this group, and I dare you to change me about it. Just leave that there for a while. What was I talking about? Look, you got me off track. I'm like, oh, the woman at the well. So Jesus said, we're going through Samaria. And Jesus went to a well. And a woman came out and was going to get some water. And he said, I'd like for you to give me a little bit of that physical water because I've got some water I want to give to you too. And she said, well, you really don't want to talk to me. I'm a Samaritan. He said, oh, who told you that? Listen. If you would say, there's some people in here, you say, well, I just don't think Jesus would want to follow me. Who told you that? Who told you that? No, Jesus came to the woman at the well on purpose, and she came out, and he was messing with her a little bit. And he said, look, he was kind of using a play on words about water and living water. But then he asked her to go get her husband. Do you remember the story? How many of you remember the story? She said, I'm not married. And he said, you've told the truth. You're not married. You've been married 5 times. He said, you've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Now, what do you think Jesus said next? What do you think? Jesus called her an adulterer? Do you think Jesus railed on her and told her how horrible she was? He said, look, I love you, and I want to give you some living water. But the point is, he knew her. He knew her before he went to Samaria. He knew her before he went to the well. He knew everything about her, and he knows everything about you. And he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. So he said, I know you. Number one, why should we follow Christ? Because he knows us. Number two, Secondly, because he calls you by name. Notice John chapter number 10, please. Back to our text. John chapter 10 and verse number 3. He said, I am the good shepherd. That's the wrong verse. Verse number 3 is what I want there. John chapter 10 and verse number 3. He said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. I talked last week how oftentimes we get so wrapped up in our lives, the sinfulness of our lives, or maybe the trials of life, we don't distinguish the shepherd's voice. Mary was that way too. Mary was a woman that knew Jesus. Go to John chapter 20, please. Jesus, we're talking about this same Mary who knew the voice of Christ. You remember the Mary and Martha of Scripture when Mary would sit at Jesus' feet and worship and she got upset because Martha was busy, or Martha got upset because Mary was sitting and doing nothing. Mary was sitting listening to the voice of Jesus, yes? This is important. We're going to get to something here in just a minute. She listened to his voice and she knew his voice and he called her and he knew her as well. Now remember, my point is he calls you by name. Mary was that way too. John chapter 20. Jesus had been dead for 3 days. Verse number 11. Notice, but Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet. Now time out for a second. Notice what the Bible says here. They were angels dressed in white. Yes? All right. Where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now time out for a second. She's looking at two angels. Do you realize this is what I was talking about last week? We get so caught up with our problems in the world. We get so caught up looking at everything else. She didn't even notice that they were angels. Are you with me? Do you see the casualness of this? I'm talking about Mary, who was, she came to find Jesus, and she came and she found these two angels sitting there, and she never even flinched. They asked her a question, and she just responded to them as if she were talking to people. Now, I understand angels can, the Bible says we ought to be careful how we treat strangers, by the way, because the Bible says that we may be entertaining angels unawares. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful how we treat the people we see on the street and the people that are in line. Hey, be careful how you talk to that girl that takes your order at Wendy's today, please. Angels unawares. But the point is here, she didn't even recognize them, and I get that. But now watch verse number 14 as we read through this story. And then when she had thus said, she turned herself back, now watch, and saw Jesus standing. She saw him. He'd been dead 3 days. She turned around and she saw him standing there and knew not that it was Jesus. How does that work? How does that work? You've come to a tomb. The stone's been rolled away. There's two angels inside. And then Jesus appears right in front of you. How does she not recognize him? I'll tell you how, the same way we don't. You see, we're so busy with the world, we're so caught up and we're so consumed in the things that we're doing in this world, we don't recognize him when we see him either. All right, where is he? Where do we see Jesus? What does the Bible say? Jesus said, look, when you went to prison, you saw me there. Amen. Does everybody remember this? He said, when you saw somebody hungry, you saw somebody homeless on the street and you fed them, you saw me. He said, when you saw somebody without clothing, you know winter's coming, folks, and the homeless don't have warm clothes. He said, that's where you saw me. But we don't see him all the time. Neither did she. But watch this. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Now he's talking to her. Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Wait, stop. Don't gloss over Scripture, folks. This is Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and was glued into everything he said. This is the same Mary who sat, the Bible says, and worshiped at his feet. She was listening to him. She was looking at him. This is that same Mary, and now she's outside the tomb. She thought he was the gardener. Talk about the noise of the world. Talk about, would you know Jesus if he stood in front of you? Would I know Jesus? We would if we follow him. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She's just talking to him. She thinks he's the gardener. What made the difference for Mary? Look at the next verse. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He only said one word. He called her name. He just called her name, and she turned herself. Can I ask you something? If Jesus called your name today, would you turn yourself? Hey, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if he would call your name, would you turn around, please? Would you turn to him? Would you turn back to Jesus? Listen, if you're a Christian this morning, you say, well, I've been away from God for so long and I haven't been living like a Christian. Hey, if he calls your name this morning, would you turn around? Would you turn around? Would you turn your life around and say, Jesus, if you love me enough to call me by name, I'll turn around and I'll follow you. Would you do that this morning? She turned around and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. What made the difference for her? He called her name. He called her name. How important is your name? How many of you know Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning? Amen. Do you remember the day you got saved? Amen. Do you know what happened that day? He called your name. He called your name. Roger, when you got saved here, it wasn't my voice you heard. It was his voice. He called your name. Cassie, when you got saved here at this church, it wasn't my voice. It wasn't the singer's voices that you heard. It was the voice of Jesus Christ that called your name. Listen, everybody, and I'm not going to go around the room here, but the day you got saved not because of a preacher's voice, not because of a soul winner's voice, not because of a singer's voice. All those are wonderful things, but you got saved because you heard Jesus call your name. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I say to you, He's calling your name. He's calling your name. But you know what else? Remember that verse we read back in Revelation chapter 20? There's an angel sitting with pen in hand ready to record your name in the book of life. He's standing there, and at the voice of Jesus Christ, as soon as you will accept Jesus, when Jesus calls your name and you accept him, that angel's ready to record your name in the Lamb's book of life. Would you let him do that? Would you let him do that this morning? He called you by name. You say, well, I've done so much bad. I know that. That's why he came to be your shepherd. See, again, some of you, you're like, you say, but my name's not very good. Yeah, he knows my name. A lot of people know my name. When my name's called, it's not all good things that come out. Can I tell you this? Join the club. Join the club. Join the club. Say, well, my name's not very good. He called your name anyway. That's okay, because I have one last thing to tell you. I said he knows you. Secondly, he knows you by name. But thirdly, may I say, he called you by name. But thirdly, he also called you by his name. He called you by his name. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Can I give you some really good news this morning? If your name doesn't mean much, it doesn't have to, because his does. His does. His name means a lot. His name means everything. You know, when God looks down at you, when God looks down at me, if Jesus Christ is my Savior, if he is my shepherd and I'm one of his sheep, it doesn't matter to God what my name is. It only matters what my shepherd's name is. It doesn't matter how sinful my blood is, because it's only his blood that matters. It doesn't matter what I've done in this world. It matters what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross. You see, we're called by his name. Listen, when you get to heaven, if there were, look, the whole thing of Peter at the gate, you know, that's, you all understand that's not real, right? You all get that? Peter is not at the gate. You don't have to answer a trick question to get into heaven. Can I give you, if it were though, can I give you the only answer you need? When he says, look, how'd you get here? Tell me all the good things you did. Tell me all the great things you did in order to get here. You can say, I'll tell you what, I didn't do any good things, but I came by way of the cross. I came by the cross. And I found a shepherd there who said, the only thing that matters is my name. And you don't have to worry about your name anymore. You don't have to worry about all the baggage associated to your name anymore, because you can take my name. You see, when you trust Christ as your Savior, we're adopted, the Bible says. We're adopted into the family of God. Now, there's some of you, you're adopted. You were adopted into a home. And I hope that was a wonderful thing for you. Sometimes that happens. But you know what an adoption is? An adoption is where somebody says, voluntarily, I don't have to. I don't have to, but I want you. I want you in my family. I want you to come to my home, and I want to love you just like my own son. The Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that really means? It means that we inherit the love of God that Jesus has. He loves Jesus. He loves his son. And he says, I'll love you the same way. I'll adopt you. I'll adopt you. And when you get adopted, you get a name change. You get a name change. So it doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your name's associated with. It just matters what his is. Let me wrap. In Galatians chapter 4, and verses 6 and 7, two more verses. Notice this. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That word means daddy. That's our word for daddy. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your daddy because of who his son is. Verse 7 and last. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Look at it, please. You're no longer a servant. When God brought you into the, when God brings you into the family of God, he doesn't say, well, you can come in and you can clean the toilets. You can come in and you can sweep the floors. You can come in and be a servant. He said, no, no, no. You don't come in as a servant. You come in as a son. You come in as a son. You come in as a son and a daughter and as an heir of God through Christ. Let me make a couple statements and I'm done. It doesn't matter what you have been. It doesn't matter what you have been. Now, I've often said, you know, there's going to be a lot of has-beens in heaven. Right? Well, we're going to walk around and God's going to say, well, he has been a sinner, but he's not anymore. Well, he has been addicted to heroin, but he's not anymore. Well, he has been a liar, but he's not anymore. There's going to be a lot of has-beens in heaven. It doesn't matter what you have been. It doesn't even matter what you, watch this, it doesn't even matter what you are right now. Please, I promise you, I'm almost done. Please, please get this. It doesn't even matter what you are right this moment. Can I tell you what does matter is what you are when you walk out of here. And you may have come in here as a servant, you could walk out as a son. You may have come in as a backslidden Christian, may have come in as a Christian that says, I just don't know why Jesus would want to follow me, so I might as well not even try to live the Christian life. That's how many of us are, yes? How many of us just feel like we deserve to live the Christian life, yes or no? Do you? Of course not. We don't deserve it, but he wants us to. And we can come in here totally undeserving, but walk out as a child of God. Now, if you're not already, you can be a child of God. You can be one of Jesus' sheep. He's calling your name. If you already are, may I ask you, are you acting like a child of God? Are we acting like a child of God? That's next week's message. The Bible says, let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's next week. But for right now, I just ask you this. Have you forgotten how wonderful it is that the shepherd knows you by name? Knows you by name. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not a child of God this morning, may I say to you, there's an angel in heaven with pen in hand who wants to record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he will do that if you respond to Jesus calling your name. Father, thank you for this time we've had to study your word. Lord, we've seen how good the Good Shepherd is.